And here's what happens. Many people increase the length of their prayer and not the depth of their heart. And you know, and I know, that sometimes we think we add on length. I would say, edit that prayer time down. Edit it to, oh God, oh God. And sometimes we just go on and on and on. So you long prayer people out there, be careful. Are you really praying in the Spirit?
Today's Regaining Lost Ground is from a message titled, You've Been Served, Now What? Today, Pastor Shane talks about what it means to be called out by God for service and what to do next. From Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Some of you need to hear this morning. This is exactly what you need. You need to build yourself up. What do people say? The church isn't feeding me. The church isn't feeding me. I saw something posted this week. I just loved it. Somebody said, I didn't get much out of worship today. And the response was, good, we're not worshiping you. The church didn't feed me. The pastor doesn't say hi. They weren't there for me. At some point, you've got to learn to strengthen yourself in the Lord. Yes, yes, we need encouragement. We need to encourage each other. Iron sharpens iron. We need to be there. But God forbid if you put your trust in me or other Christians. Put your trust in God, because when man fails you, he won't. Build yourself up in the faith. What do you think I have to do on a weekly basis? I love all of you, but I cannot rely on you to build me up, and vice versa. Build yourself up, building on holy faith. This is so important. It doesn't just say building up faith, holy faith. Your faith is described as holiness. What is holiness? Come out from among them and be separate, be different. And then that's what your faith is built upon. Building up your faith. Here's what I do. Here's what you need to do as well. How do you build up your faith? You go back to the Bible and you look at those promises. Almost 20 years ago, I started putting down answered prayers, things, and I go back to that. That's right, God, I remember you answered. You answered me. And I love that song we sing, When All Hope Is Gone. When all hope is gone, you're Word is all I've got. You're still the same God that takes water from the rock. That same God flooded the entire Egyptian army. That same God holds all of our heartbeats in the palm of his hands. We go back and we say, you're on the throne. All these worries, all these fears, all these anxieties should be cast aside. I'm building up my holy faith on the promises of God. See, you build up yourself in the holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, this could get controversial. I will tell you this right now. Charismatic commentaries and conservative commentaries are going to obviously look at this differently. Many, you know, refer to it as praying in tongues and in the New Testament with Paul. And does that still apply today? And I'm actually... To me, I don't read any of that into this. What I do is how I look at it, is praying in the Holy Spirit. Are you praying in the Holy Spirit? Or are you praying in the flesh? D. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, we all know what it is to feel deadness in prayer. Amen? Every head should be shaking on this one. Difficulty in prayer, to be tongue-tied with nothing to say. Having to force ourselves to try. That's praying in the flesh. Praying in the flesh is dry and dead. And here's what happens. Many people increase the length of their prayer and not the depth of their heart. And you know, and I know, that sometimes we think we add on length. I would say, edit that prayer time down. Edit it to... Oh God, oh God. And sometimes we just go on and on and on. So you long prayer people out there, be careful. Are you really praying in the Spirit? Now, sometimes prayer meetings can go on a while. Don't get me wrong. But I've seen a lot of people just tack it on. If we get up to 10 minutes, we're really praying. Not really. God's looking at our heart. And we know it's electrified. Praying in the Spirit is living prayer, soul-touching, heart-wrenching, passion-driven prayer. There's boldness, there's assurance versus weakness and doubt. So what he means by praying in this Holy Spirit is spending time with God. You don't just have a hard day at work, drive in traffic, get home and go, okay, let me pray in the Holy Spirit. And then all this powerful prayer life rushes in. I like what Robert Murray McShane said. I spend more time preparing to pray than I do pray. If we have an hour and a half morning worship, sometimes it takes an hour to get the heart right. It's getting that heart right before God. So that's praying in the Holy Spirit. And many people don't know what that means is because they haven't been filled mightily with the Holy Spirit. See, whatever flows out of in your prayer life is what you've been putting in. So if we've been putting in the world and deadness and all this dark, demonic garbage on Netflix and TV and the computers and the people we shouldn't be hanging out with and doing things we shouldn't be doing, and I'm feeding myself, and then, well, Shane said I need to pray this morning, and you're going to get up and try to pray tomorrow? Good luck. Because what's coming out is what you've been putting in. Unless your prayer life says this tomorrow morning, God, I've been so wrong. I've drifted from you. My prayers are dead. They are cold. I don't know what to say. God, would you light this fire inside of me? Oh, he'll answer that prayer. If I were you, I'd get that song, Fill Me Up, and hit the repeat button 10 times. I can already see the emails coming in. That's brainwashing. No. You've been brainwashed to think you don't need to ponder and get your heart right before God. So you only got a few claps on that one, because let it rain. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. God, fill me up. God, fill me up. Please, God, fill me up. It's a heart cry. Fill me up. God, would you fill me up? God, fill my children up. Fill my marriage up. Oh, God, I'm dry. I'm dead. I need to be filled up with your Spirit. God, give me that boldness. Get me over this health issue. God, your word is dead to me. My prayers are lifeless. My life is falling apart. I don't even know you. Church is boring. God, fill me up. God, would you fill me up? I lay here prostrate before you on the floor. I humble myself before you. God, I need to be filled with your Spirit. I desire that above my necessary food. Then watch out. That prayer will be answered. That's the type of prayer God answered. He says, I hear that broken heart. I hear that heart that is crying out to me. I will not cast away the cries of my children. What parent hears her child crying in the other room is going to try to go back to sleep? Especially if you hear somebody trying to break in the room. The enemy is trying to break in your homes. He wants to destroy your testimony, destroy your life. Shane, this isn't a very positive day. I'm tired of positive. Positive is not going to cut it. It's not, I'm telling you. Every single book I've read on revival, and they're this high, began when men and women were broken before God, repenting of their sin, not thinking your best life now and having wonderful thoughts of pleasure and what Jesus can bless you with. That never brings revival. Never, because it's self-focus, selfishness. So, and then it says, keep yourself in the love of God. What does keep mean? It means to retain possession of, to keep the course, to keep away from sin that pulls you away. So there's this keeping. I have to keep the course. And this word keep is interesting in the Greek language. You have this image. I think Charles Swindoll gave this image of this vessel on the sea, and it drifts a little bit, but it keeps the course. You know that, right? When a boat goes from the Atlantic to the Pacific, it's not a perfect straight line. Perfect. Hey, we're off 5 degrees starboard. We're off, and it's keeping the course. So don't beat yourself up. Well, Shane, I could never live up. I'm not perfect. I have this issue. Well, we all have issues. This is the issue church. The real church of God recognizes that we are saints, but we all struggle with the flesh. And we come to encourage, not beat up. We come to build up, not pull down. But sometimes sermons will convict and will pull down. How else do you change if you're not convicted? So keep yourself in the love of God. It means to keep the course. If you're falling off, get back on. If you know you're doing something you should not be doing, get rid of it and get back on course. Keeping that. That's what the Christian faith is. This was a mind-boggling, just eye-opening truth for me. When I first came back to the Lord, I was thinking, oh, man, I'm going to be in God's will. Everything's going to be great. Life's going to be wonderful. This is going to be so good. And then I started to read books like Fox's Book of Martyrs. 11 of the 12 disciples were killed for their faith. This is actually a relationship to God is dying to self, dying to the world, and from time to time, dying in our physical body. It's a message of death that has great hope. Woe be the person who thinks Jesus is going to fix their problems. And I will tell people that, though. I will say, listen, you need to turn your life over to God. He can rebuild your life, but you need to get rebuilt spiritually first. That's the foundation. Because people say, oh, God, if you would just help me in this business endeavor, if you just get my marriage back, and then something works out, and then they leave God. Because they didn't understand the depth of their sin, the depravity of their own heart. Because when you understand that, and you say, God, save me from that, you he's your anchor. You couldn't pull somebody apart. Now, they might falter and they might struggle in it, but they realize what God has done for them. And then this other one is kind of hard, looking for mercy. So keep yourself in the love of God and looking for mercy. Who's looking for mercy? Because this is hard, because it involves loving others. Do you have a cold and calloused heart? Are you looking for opportunity to love others? Look, you have to look for those. You have to go and do that. Here's how it works often. I don't feel like going to the hospital homes. Feel, I don't. You catch that word? Feel like it. But I'm going to look for opportunities, and then once you go and you begin to help others, then the blessing of peace comes, and it follows obedience. That's one thing else, one thing you should know also about your Christian walk is the blessing of peace, the blessing of joy comes after, often, after the right decision, not before it. That's why people, they end up praying for a while, and they're praying in the morning, then they have peace, then they have joy, because they had to battle through the pull of the flesh. And then verse 22, and on some have compassion, making a distinction. So he's saying, okay, on some people have compassion, make a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. So on some people we are to have compassion, but others we are to warn. Now this is interesting. This was a garment. A garment was a symbol of things affected by the stench of the flesh. So he's saying, don't just hate the flesh, hate even the garment, the things that touch the flesh, whatever touches the flesh. Well, how does that apply to us now? I'm glad you asked. You should hate whatever pulls you away from God. That's why many people fall back into the sin. They don't hate it enough. They actually, if the truth be told, enjoy it a little bit. And that's what pulls them back. There's not a crucifixion. There's a comfort in going back to that sin. So he said here, hate even the garment that is defiled. Whatever defiles the flesh. Whatever defiles the flesh. I love when men come up to me and go, do you see this? What is that? That's a flip phone. That's old school. What's wrong with you? Say, I'm done with pornography. I'm going old school. See, they hate what defiled. They hate what pulled them back. Or the person, Shane, I've disconnected all this junk in my house. I feel so alive with God. See, that's how serious they are. It's a person who says, well, I'd like to go back and fiddle with sin. I don't want to get that extreme. That's the other thing. I don't want to get that extreme. You hear that guy up there at the pulpit, the bald head? Now that's extreme. That guy is extreme. Well, in Christianity, there's not a middle ground, folks. You're lukewarm or you're carnal, or you're void of the Spirit of God, you're quenching, grieving the Spirit of God, or you're alive with the Spirit of God. And to be alive with the Spirit of God, you cannot stay in the middle. So what you call extreme is actually biblical Christianity. The last time I checked, dying to yourself, picking up your cross and following Christ unconditionally sounds pretty extreme. Unless I'm exegetically not interpreting that correctly. And I didn't look at the Greek nuances and the verbs, if they were in the present participle or if they're in the active tense. I mean, I don't know. But that sounds pretty narrow. Pretty extreme. And what we found, what you know, for you, for those of you who are labeled extreme, is it's the abundant life. It's the Christ-centered, Spirit-filled life. Doesn't mean you don't struggle with sin, but it is this abundant life. Because I know, living in the middle, I am miserable. Remember that, Eminem. Miserable in the middle. And that's why most Christians leave here still miserable. Go to church miserable. I am miserable. What's wrong with me? Because you're trying to enjoy the things of the world too much. And as I often say, if you don't like what I say or what I'm saying, it's because you need to hear what I'm saying. One of the most amazing things I think that happens, I show some people the emails that come in. I didn't realize how many people don't like me until, you know, emails come in. But they'll say, man, when I first started listening, you were to this or to that or to this. But now I've come to realize that God's word wants full obedience, fully surrender. I've never been more excited, more joy-filled in my life. And that we often hear that. Because see what happens, you hear the word of God come alive and you're convicted, you have a choice. You have a choice. Do you allow the Holy Spirit to convict and work in your life and turn back to God, or do you get bitter and angry and come up with excuses? Remember, the same sun that melts the wax will harden the clay. This will melt your heart or it'll harden you. One or the other. You can watch on YouTube when I did that debate with the atheist at the college and had the closing remarks. Even after that, some people are so hard, so hardened. But one person who was an atheist, he doesn't know what he was, he actually was encouraged by it. Doesn't believe in their God necessarily. What's the difference? It's always the heart. People will always mock God until he brings them to their knees. And then verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, you better get encouraged right now. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. I believe that God is able to keep you from stumbling. I believe as a child of God, God holds you. I thank God I don't hold myself. I don't hold myself to the cross. Okay, I'm doing good today. Phil, pray for me. It's gonna be a tough week. And then now I'm distant from Christ. Now I don't know him anymore. Now I'm not saved anymore. Then I have to run back. And gosh, that was a close call. No, he holds us. He keeps us from stumbling. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. There's exceeding joy in the fact that he keeps us. And that's something, if you did not know about this church, I am unapologetically, and I have friends that disagree, I do not believe a person is saved, sealed with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's given to them as a guarantee, he is right here, he keeps us from stumbling, that person can walk away and reject God and lose that salvation. Because it wasn't earned, it wasn't bought for, they didn't save themselves, they were born again, they had a spiritual experience where Almighty God has taken them in and holds them as a child. But people get upset. No, you're giving people license to sin. No, I'm not. If they're sinning and they don't care, they're not saved. I see scriptures of warning. I do. But I also see scriptures like this. If God saves us and you are born again, you are a child of God, you can't undo that any more than you can go undo your birth, your physical birth. God holds us. He makes us stand firm in Christ. The Holy Spirit is given to you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is given to you as a guarantee. So is it a partial guarantee based on what I do? God help, I hope not. And you are sealed until the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit. Oh, wait a minute, that's a partial seal. You can undo that seal. See, I can't go there. I can't see that. But Shane, what about Hebrews 6? Those who have been tasted the good things of God, those who have been enlightened by the things of God, those who have partook of the things of God, if they fall away, they will not be able to renew it again to salvation. What about that? Well, Judas Iscariot partook in the things of God. He was enlightened. He participated. What happened to him? He was not renewed into repentance. And I know people, can you lose your salvation? Can you? And there's a big debate. And I love pastors that, and, you know, we can agree to disagree. Many of you know I was on Dr. Michael Brown's show, and we disagree in this area. We don't talk about it, we don't argue about it. There are scriptures that warn of holding on to Christ, abiding in the vine, don't fall away, don't turn back. But there's also a lot of scriptures on God keeping me from stumbling, holding me together. He's my Father, a loving Father who has saved me. And that saved is not a condition on my performance. That salvation is not a condition on, okay, if I hold on this week, if I hold on really strong and really tight, it's based on assurance. Today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't tell the thief on the cross, well, hold on till that last minute because you could go either way here. And I'm not trying to mock that. I just don't see how a person supernaturally infused by the Spirit of God, who now has the Holy Spirit residing in them, is now saved by the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit, how they can just throw that in the trash and go back to, I love this sin. Now I'm not saved. And then can they go to Greg Laurie crusade and now they're saved again? And then here comes that sin again. 3 years later, man, I was saved 2 years ago, and let's go back to, you know, and this constant battle, I don't see that. I just don't see that in Scripture. So what we're going to do is we're going to go into communion in just a minute. And it says, whoever eats this bread or drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner may be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of Jesus. Did you catch that? Paul. Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, sometimes we need to hear the hard things to soften our hearts. Lord, I don't want to do this. So Paul is saying we need a heart check. We need a heart check before communion. But there was a verse that all week I've been just contemplating and meditating on. In verse 23, I don't know if we can put that up there at all. The portion of, if not, it's not a biggie. It says, but others save with fear. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Because they're following, they're following false teachers, clouds without water, carried about by winds, late autumn trees, twice dead, raging waves of shame, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars from whom it is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Did you catch that? I don't know, maybe it just kind of leaped out at me, but there is eternity is separated from God. Blackness and darkness forever. Why in the world do we believe some of the truth? Jesus is good. I love Jesus. God is love. I love it. But not the hard truths. There's eternity separated from God.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground, an encouragement of God's Word from Pastor Shane Eidelman of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, just west of Palmdale in Southern California. Find out more about the ministry and also stream the Sunday services live at westsidechristianfellowship.org. Look for Pastor Shane's messages on YouTube and follow the ministry on Facebook and Twitter. And hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. Thank you for listening to Regaining Lost Ground. And remember, times change. Truth does not. Touch my lips.